Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 68 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. Announcements this week? I would say this is probably the heaviest week we've had for quite some time. I don't know, maybe it's the combination of the Christmas season being upon us and Stars feeling very generous, or also the fact that, you know, it's the fourth of the month has come and gone, so we get our Droughtlander fix. But there was a lot going on this week.
There is also, technically it's Advent, but Christmas is on its way, but yeah. But, yes, it's a few things, right? It's Droughtlander, it's what Stars is giving us during Droughtlander, plus the fourth, plus all these awards shows coming up, and so all of these continual voting things that everyone's urging, and for good reason, and all these online contests and different things, which a few of which we'll speak to in a moment. Just so much is happening either now or soon that there is just news about it.
The first thing we have is apparently, as a way of spreading the holiday cheer, Outlander Stars is going to be releasing something exclusive each day for the 25 days of the Advent.
Definitely giving us something each day.
I would agree.
Okay, Outlander's going to be giving us goodies in December on the way up to Christmas.
Yes, but some days we will get exclusive content, so you just need to pay attention to your Twitter feed and your Facebook. But the first thing that they released was sort of like a nice little short teaser trailer for what's to come in the second half of the season. We got lots of flashes of faces and some voiceover.
A little dialogue, yeah.
A little bit. Just makes me more excited. We got a new behind-the-scenes shot from the Shinty match. This one showing the very good-looking Mr. Graham McTavish. Looking very stoic. I know it's a Shinty pole. Whatever they're called. Are they called poles?
No, I'm just saying. It's some kind of pole.
It just looks like he's carrying a big stick.
Yes, okay. Or you could say that. The big stick you use in Shinty.
It's probably like a Shinty stick, and we probably sound like idiots right now. I mean, we do sound like idiots
right now.
No, we're
not idiots. We just don't know what the technical term.
We could look it up.
And who else is in the picture?
Oh, I just noticed him now, mostly because there's an arm in front of his face, but Sam Heughan is also featured in this picture. On December the 4th, we received our monthly Droughtlander Day offering, and this one is a deleted scene that was basically a different ending for episode 6. So it starts off with things we've already seen from episode 6, and then it kind of expands and fills in that worldview a little bit more, and then we get back to the ending we are used to. But it was a nice addition.
I can see why they cut it, because it just added, it didn't hurt it, but it added more stuff to it that wasn't necessarily necessary.
I think
I'm glad they showed it to
us. I think the ending they chose was stronger.
Exactly. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah, I think it was what they went with was a much stronger ending, but I enjoyed being able to watch it. I like little extras. We also got a new clip of Annette Badland, who is our Mrs. Fitz, giving kind of a behind-the-scenes little discussion about her domain of the kitchen and how true to life they tried to make everything on the set, which I expect nothing less of Stars, and it looks exactly like you would expect, I think. TV Guide announced that Outlander won two categories in their fan favorites. They won Favorite Drama and Favorite Duo. Time.com released their top 10 TV episodes of 2014, and number 8 on their list was episode 7 of Outlander, The Wedding, which, it's not a surprise to me. It was a pretty good episode.
And
I personally watched it like 8 or 9 times in a row.
I don't know about that, but I watched it a lot. But what's interesting, and we're not going to mention them all, you can look them up, but it's interesting to see the ones that they put above it. Now, I really have no opinion. I'm of the opinion that, obviously, I think Outlander should be on there. I'm glad it is. I would have loved it to be higher than 8, but I am not looking a gift horse in the mouth. However, I do watch Mad Men, but I missed a lot of episodes this year. I did watch Game of Thrones. Those are the only two that I watch on this list, besides Outlander. However, it does now kind of make, I'm not going to go watch one episode, but especially the shows that I do watch, it makes me want to go kind of check those out, because Mad Men has been critically acclaimed since its beginning, and of course Game of Thrones is hugely popular, and we know a lot of the others obviously are as well, but yeah, it's interesting to see that they put it on a list, number one, that it made it, number two, that who the other winners are.
It's true. I watched some of those shows on that list, but just from the title alone, I couldn't tell you what the episode was about. But just from, I mean, and obviously I'm very well versed in this series as it's progressed, so just from the title alone, I knew which episode it was.
The wedding?
The wedding.
Well, it's a wedding.
But I mean, if you look at some of the other titles, I'm like,
I'm not surprised. I don't remember which one that is. And I'm not, obviously not unhappy. I'm not surprised at all that Outlander made it onto a list like this. I think, I'm not surprised that that episode did, but I'm surprised that that one did, and episode 106, The Garrison Commander, did not. And, at least, did not get a mention in the rest of theirs. So maybe they were only going to give one per show and not, you know, spread the wealth of it. But
I see doubles on the list.
Okay, there are doubles. So yeah, I just, because that one was, maybe because it was so disturbing. Mm. I don't know. I don't think that they would necessarily go away from disturbing things. But I definitely think The Wedding deserved to be there. I think it was brilliant. But as far as like a kick you in the pants, kind of, Katrina did an amazing job, but that was Tobias's episode. And Sam, certainly wrong.
True, but what I will say about the wedding episode is it was probably the most highly anticipated episode.
That is true.
Of the season. So
I would have liked to have seen a little, at least a mention of 106.
I was going to say, I saw quite a bit in episode 7.
No, we all saw quite a bit.
And I know everyone has probably had a hand in this.
I hope so. At least, or at least a few fingers.
Whoa.
Typing. Clicking.
Phrasing.
Typing and clicking.
Just phrasing. Anyway, there was this little poll going around on BBC. The Anglophenia's Anglo Fan Favorites Man of 2014. It was a heated battle between...
Oh my gosh.
...some of the hottest British men.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. Who did it come down to?
It came down to Doctor Who and Outlander. Let's be honest.
Doctor Who.
It came down to Tennant.
David Tennant. And let me just say, you know what? Would I have been disappointed that Sam... If Sam didn't win, if he hadn't won? I mean, sure. But I'm sorry. David Tennant is quite the fine gentleman as well. So I would not have been upset if Tennant had won, but I would have been disappointed because we are the Outlander podcast if Sam had not won. Simply by, I mean, the fans were like on the move.
But I'm going to be honest. Had it come down to Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, Summer would have betrayed Sam us all.
I probably would have had to just completely abstain.
Yeah.
Because I can't choose. The only thing that would have gone in Sam's favor is that Benedict is now unfortunately off the market and therefore...
Officially off the market. So. Or soon to be officially off the market.
So that could have pulled Sam in Sam's favor.
There was a little get-together this weekend called Through the Stones Quad Cities Outlander Convention. And Ms. Diana Gabaldon was there, as well as Graham McTavish. And we have seen kind of popping up on social media some pictures here and there that people have posted of them with either Mr. McTavish or Ms. Gabaldon. And it's just so neat to see this because obviously there are going to be conventions, there are going to be in the country, out of the country, and of course the U.S. is such a big place that we know that we can't be at everywhere. And honestly, we probably wouldn't want to go everywhere. Because it's just so much time and so much money and just it's more stuff. We love going to things that we can go to, but we love hearing from you guys. And we love it when you share your images and share your experiences. So if you were able to attend the Quad Cities Outlander Convention, which I know a lot of you were, and a very lucky team, if I'm not mistaken, from Minnesota... won a quiz or won a game.
And we're trivia.
Yeah. Like a trivia and game. We're able to have dinner or sit at the table, I guess it was, with Diana and Graham McTavish. Yeah, I mean, you guys, if you can, you know, let us know how it was. You know, no intimate details. We want your experience to remain your experience. But we're so tickled that this was able to happen, that you guys were able to go, and that two big names from the Outlanderverse were able to be there, and you guys had such a great time. Finally, we are available at a new place.
Well, I think this is a good time to just remind an everyone where we are available and the easiest ways to find us.
As always, we are available at our host, audioboom.com. Our channel there is audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. We are available on Stitcher. You can subscribe through iTunes as well. And of course, you can follow along with the first two tracks we've done for GoPop TV, episodes of Outlander 101 and 102. And share your tracks and add your commentary and take the poll questions. We'd like to know what you think about those episodes, and this is the kind of non-live live tweeting that we've done. And with StoryPress, the newest place we're available, it is storypress.com, and we have added a number of episodes, and we are still in the process of updating with more episodes, but our most recent ones will be there. And give them a follow on Facebook or Twitter and check them out. And we will add StoryPress to our page on our blog of ways to listen.
And that is announcements for the week, which leads us to the next section of our podcast.
We are very excited to be able to share with you our interview with Outlander's very own Gilbreeja McMillan, who, of course, played and sang the role of Gwilyn the Bard. And so, without further ado, here's our interview with Gilbreeja. We are thrilled to have one of the featured musicians, performers, from an episode of Outlander with us today. We are speaking all the way from, where are you calling from, Gilbreeja?
Glasgow in Scotland.
Ah, Glasgow, very good. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to assume. So yes, another Scotland connection here. Absolutely thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you very much for having me. It's great.
Absolutely. And could you tell us your full name and how to pronounce it?
Okay, so my name is Gilbreeja McMillan, or if you want the full Gaelic version, it would be Gilbreeja Mac Gilbhil, and Bhil is quite difficult in terms of pronunciation, but the Gilbreeja is my name.
Very good. It's actually a beautiful name, and I never would have. I've studied about, you know, a hair's breadth width of Gaelic, so yeah. Very little. But when I saw your name, obviously I thought, as a native English speaker would, Gilbride.
Yeah.
And then when I heard it pronounced first, I think I heard you say it in some interview, or I heard, maybe it was Agav, I heard it pronounced, and I thought, that makes sense, because I remember the D, the initial D's or D's before E's are like a J.
Yeah.
So then I remembered, okay, a tiny bit of Gaelic coming back to my ear.
Yeah, and in Ireland, it's normally a surname, but in Scotland, it's a first name.
Oh, how interesting. That's, wow, very cool. So we like to start by just asking you a little bit about your linguistic background. What languages do you speak, and how did your linguistic or your language kind of world begin, and how large is it?
Well, Scottish Gaelic is my first language. It's the language of my family. It's the language of my community where I grew up on the island of South Uist in the Outer Hebrides. So Gaelic is my first language. Then I suppose I had some English before I went to school, but mainly most of my English was learned in school and then through high school and so on. And then I also speak Spanish, so I'm fluent in Spanish because I lived in Spain for 7 years and my wife is from Spain. But as well as that, she's from Galicia, so I also speak Gallego, which is the language they speak in the northwest part of Spain, which is just above Portugal. So that means I can understand Portuguese as well. And I also studied Irish for 7 months or something like that in the University of Galway. So I suppose fluently I speak English, Spanish and Gaelic. I have a fair amount of Irish, Galician and some Portuguese as well.
Wow, that's a, that puts my kind of 2.5 languages to pot again. That's amazing.
You have 3 if you count Pig Latin.
Well, that would be true. If I counted Pig Latin or all the fake languages I can make up, then it could be infinity. But that's not fair or real.
And notice that Welsh wasn't one of the languages you speak.
Well, yeah. that is true. I do not speak Welsh. But, of course, Gwilym was Welsh. But in the show, he's a Scottish Welsh, Gaelic-speaking bard.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I don't speak Welsh at all. Although the Celtic language, it's completely different from Gaelic and Irish. There's the two types of Celtic languages. So in one grouping, there's the Scottish Gaelic and Irish Gaelic and Manx Gaelic. And then in the other grouping, you'd have Breton, Cornish and Welsh. So I don't speak any Welsh, unfortunately. I can say Shemai, but that's all.
So are you referring to the P Celtic and Q Celtic?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, great. I that's pretty much all I can say about that, because I know there are the two classifications, but and I've read about them, but I don't know enough to even ask really educated questions. When you, especially given your wide range of experience with so many different languages, and I would guess learning them in different ways. You had your immersive environment growing up. You had your quote-unquote traditional maybe book learning or more formal traditional learning in school. Have you found that you prefer a certain style of learning, whether it's the more traditional or the more immersive or a hybrid?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're an adult, I think a hybrid's definitely the best way. I think to have a grounding in the grammar but then immerse yourself in the language is, I think, the best way. And that's what I did with Spanish, because I did some Spanish classes first and then I went to live in Spain. And then once you have the grounding, you can really learn really quickly. So I think, and also, I also teach Gaelic language. That's my kind of day job as well as singing. So I do some grammar work, but also to get people to talk, use the language as soon as possible. So I think that's the most effective way to learn a language. As an adult, it's different for children, where they can just be immersed and they have lots of time. Yeah, for adults, I would definitely say a bit of grammar and then also learning the basics of the language and then immersing yourself and not being too worried to be wrong.
Now, we have heard of others, whether they are native speakers of Gaelic or whatever the language is or not. Have you made the choice to raise, if you have children, have you made the choice to raise your children as native speakers?
We do have children. We have 2 children. I've got a boy who's 3 and a girl who's 1. And I speak Gaelic to them all the time. And my family all speak Gaelic to them. And my wife's family, they speak Galician to them as well. So they're being raised as Gaelic and Galician speakers. But they will also, because of English and Spanish are so powerful, they'll be speaking hopefully all 4.
They will be amazingly awesome polyglots. That tickles my heart. I love that. I'm a linguist, so we both are very much into languages. So hearing that it's one of the, in my personal opinion, it's one of the best gifts you can give a child.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we were very sure that we wanted to, because we both have minority languages, myself and my wife. So we were sure we wanted to continue with those, and give those children those gifts of minority languages, and then the majority languages they can learn through immersion as well. So.
So is there anything about your language background that affects or has affected your music, besides obviously performing in a certain language?
Yeah, well, I suppose when I'm speaking in Gaelic and singing in Gaelic, I feel more relaxed. In fact, I would very rarely sing in English because I think I've got quite a strong accent when I speak English. And to be honest, there are so many good Gaelic songs that people don't sing. So if I can sing lots and lots of Gaelic songs and give them out, there are other people who do the English songs possibly in their own way. And I just feel, for me, there's something that connects me to Gaelic song.
So segueing nicely into the topic of your music, have you always been a singer, or when did it start? When did you develop an interest or find out about your talent?
Well, when I was young, my sisters used to sing, so they were 4 years older than me, and so they used to sing, and then I sang when I was young, so I sang until I was about 13, and I won. We have competitions in Scotland called the Mod, which are singing competitions for Gaelic speakers and Gaelic songs. So I won those competitions, and then I decided I would retire, kind of, because I was really nervous. I used to get really nervous singing. So when I was 13, I just kind of carried on singing at home, in my own bedroom as such, but didn't sing in public. And then I just didn't sing again until I was about 21. I suppose the reason I started singing was I went over to Ireland to university for Erasmus for a term, and in Ireland they have lots of sessions. They have music sessions, they have singing sessions. So I was there listening to all the fantastic Irish singing, and somebody said to me, "Oh, you're from Scotland, you must have lots of Scottish songs." So I had, at that time, I had just trying to remember the songs I used to sing. So I just sang, and then the next time I went, I sang again. And then the next time I went to the same session and sang another two, sang another three, and then that was it, really. That's how I started singing again, just through sessions in Ireland, and then that kind of made me want to sing again, and now I really enjoy singing. So, yeah, I think it's just one of these things where if you are nervous and kind of shy, and but if somebody doesn't push you then you realize you actually do enjoy it. So that's what happened to me.
Do you also play any instruments? We saw you playing a harp or something like a harp in your episode in Outlander that you appeared in. But we can't assume. Were you playing it? Was it just, were you just fingering?
I was just fingering. I will be honest with you. Tempting as what to play the harp.
Very good.
I unfortunately I don't play the harp. It's not one of the instruments I play. When I was young, I used to play the bagpipes, and we used to go to chant lessons, and then I started on the bagpipes. And when I was an adult, I was in Dundee, lived in Dundee as well. I was playing bagpipes, and then when I lived in Spain, I used to busk playing the bagpipes just because they have the Spanish, the Galician bagpipes, but the Scottish bagpipes. I lived in a flat, so I couldn't really practice in the flat. I just used to go and play in the street, and then a little hat, and they would throw in 10p and so on. So I play the bagpipes, but since I came back to Scotland and was a child, I haven't played for about 4 or 5 years. So every time I say I have to go back and play the bagpipes, but yeah, so it's. I can play the bagpipes, but the harp was played by a fantastic harp player called Declan Hegarty, and he's from Ireland, but he lives in Glasgow, and he studied a music degree in Glasgow.
So I have to imagine that if you're busking on the streets of Spain with a bagpipe, that you must have gotten some quizzical looks.
Yes, I did. So I quickly cottoned on, because I wasn't doing it for the money as such, but when people first of all, the first couple of days I went in my jeans, and so I'd get a bit of money, and then I decided, well, I wonder how much I'll get if I wear the kilt. So I used to wear the full kilt, and suddenly my takings tripled or quadrupled. So I think people are giving money for the kilt, not for my playing. So yeah, so I'd have lots of people asking if they could take my photo, stand beside take for a photo, so things like that. So there was people loved hearing the bagpipes, because they were different from the Galician bagpipes, but they also liked seeing the kilt. It was quite unusual for them.
I think that's universal. I think everyone likes seeing the kilt.
And well, it's really comfortable.
Very. We've heard that Graham McTavish has said it's very freeing. Or was it Sam? I think it was Sam Heughan. But anyway, one of them has said that. Since you've completed, I guess in two ways, since your work on Outlander has completed, and also since it has aired, in case those are two different things for this question, how has your professional music career been affected or changed?
Well, It has aired in the US, and I've also finished my recording. So, but it has been affected because I've been asked to sing for lots of Outlander holiday groups and so on. So lots of Outlander tours. So they normally go to different places that are in the books, and also places where the TV program was recorded. And in the evenings, they have different things. They might watch the program, or they might do things. But one of the evenings for most of the groups now is that I'll be singing for them. So that's been really good. I'll be meeting lots of Outlander fans, and the first one of them is in September. But I've got bookings for next September, next June, next May. So there's lots of things happening. But also, I've been encouraged by lots of Outlander fans, but also by a couple of promoters to do some concerts or gigs in the USA and possibly Canada next summer. So that's something.
Yes, please.
Something,
yes, please.
We're looking at. And I ask people just now, where would you want me to go? Because I'm kind of planning a kind of
well, come to California, please.
Oh, yeah.
Or somewhere, yeah, well, as close as you could.
But. I don't have a very large backyard, but I'm pretty sure I could pack it with people if you want to play my backyard.
Well, I'll definitely,
you know, the home salon concerts, the old-fashioned concerts.
Yeah, because I've been asked by a couple of people about the Scottish Games, but also house concert venues and things like that. So
yes, exactly.
So something small and intimate. I like small gigs as well, where you can actually meet
people. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. And so, yeah, so definitely can people find your updated schedule as it changes on your website?
Yes. So my website is gilleprija.com. So it's www.gilleprija.com. And there's a schedule there. It's going to be updated with lots of things in the near future. It's a bit of a work in progress at the moment, but I'll try and keep people updated with that. I'm also on Twitter, and the handle is @GilleprijaRadio. And so it's just lots of things happening. And the website, there's a Gaelic version and an English version, so you can see down the side the English version and the Gaelic version. Because I thought it was quite important to give prominence to Gaelic as well.
I even though I do not speak Gaelic, I tend to learn it better. Is that correct English?
Yeah.
To learn it better?
Because
habegan Gaelic akam, very began. But, speaking of a work in progress, so I can appreciate the fact that it's there. Obviously, I can't understand it, but I think that is amazing that you would do that, because even, yes, it may be your native tongue and English you're just as fluent in, but still, it's work to keep up double everything on the site. I can give you major props for that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's often because Gaelic's a minority language, and I suppose everyone who speaks Gaelic now speaks English as well. But I think it's important to show that the language is still alive and important. And and seeing it on websites and so on is really important. And I have to say, the Outlander TV show has been really good for Gaelic, because there's a lot of Gaelic in the show. And they were really, really good, because audiences that are not Gaelic speaking, you could always say, well, just put in a couple of words, but they have lots and lots of Gaelic, and it's been really good for the language.
We can see that a little bit, even though obviously we're on this side of the pond. It is we see the outpouring of support for it, at least, again, since we've been kind of watching things since production was announced in in last fall of 2013, we started our podcast in last August. And so we've been, for our own self, following everything because we're interested in the story, the books, everything. But that was clear early on that they were giving Gaelic quite a prominence. And we were thrilled that they were going to keep that, because it is given a great importance in the book.
Yeah. And I spoke at Edinburgh Festival. I was there. Her question about Gaelic. She told, first of all, how she was getting it from dictionaries, but then she was getting help from people, fluent speakers. And I think at the moment she gets help from Kathy Ann McPhee, who's a Gaelic singer living in Canada, and she's a really good friend. So it's another good link.
We will definitely keep an eye on that on your calendar then to see when you're going to make it over here. So now to the perhaps for the listeners, I know for us as well, and hopefully yourself, the pièce de résistance, and that is your a little bit more about your work on Outlander.
Yeah. So it was really good to get the call. I went for a casting in Edinburgh, and so I went over from Glasgow, and for the casting, I had to sing a song and do a bit of talking to camera, just a normal video camera, and that video was then sent to the US, and I didn't think anything of it. I went back to normal life, work, family, and so on, and then about 2 months later, I got an email saying that I had been chosen for the role of Gwilym the Bard, and asking if I was willing to do that. So of course I said I was. We can jump at the chance. And then that meant that I had to go in almost straight away for wig fittings. Unfortunately, the wig or my hair in the show is not my real hair. It's the hair I always wanted to have, but unfortunately, it's not my hair. And then so I had
hair with. Oh, that hair was pretty luxurious, I'm not going to lie. You had some excellent hair.
I didn't want to take the wig off, but I had to go in for wig fittings and also for costume fittings. The costume was also fantastic. It was the detail the costume had was just amazing for the show. It was the shirt, the wonderful velvet coat, the kind of tweed trousers, the shoes, the buckles and tights, and everything was just planned to the most minute detail. So then that was the kind of preparation. And then, of course, I had to go and record the song. So the Bear McCreary composed the song. It was translated by Agave, and then I did some tweaking to fit the rhythms of the music, and then we went into the music studio, recorded the song, and then recorded the other songs as well. I sang four songs in total, so there's one newly composed, but also three traditional songs. So there's Ní Chuig Éiricic was one, Grag Gealmochri, I think you can hear a bit of it, and also the very one at the end, the very last one, where I'm kind of leading the celebrations, is called Ferefike, the walking songs, a mouth music song. So they were the four songs I recorded. And then it was just the case of going into the recording area for the show, and it was just the most amazing scene. For somebody who hasn't really been on, I've been on lots of TV productions, but movie productions, it was just another scale completely, where it was just the height and real flames and everything. It was just amazing. And I have to say that everyone, Sam, Katrina, Gary Lewis, just everyone was really friendly, really good. The directors, the producers, everyone. They were so, so fantastic to work with.
You mentioned how you kind of got started with it. What were you doing, or how did you actually find out about the opportunity before you auditioned?
Well, the funny thing was, I didn't know much about Outlander at all, but I think, I can't remember exactly how I saw it. Was it on email or Facebook? So I think it was just that, and then I went over to Edinburgh for the casting, and then that was it, really. But it was really good to be involved for episode 3 and singing.
Now, when you actually had your time on set, was it all completed in one day, or did you come back and have multiple arrangements?
It was done on set over 2 days. Yeah. Okay. So I was in the first day. They were doing a whole scene as such, so there was a lot of waiting around for me, when I wasn't actually in set, and other times, just different camera angles. For me, I didn't realize how long it took, but they were just doing lots of different camera angles and things like that. And then the next day I had to go back for just to finish the scene. It was very short, the second day. So it was great to go in and see what was happening, though. And it was actually really nice to be treated as a bit of a... I had my own caravan, and I had a caravan, somebody waiting outside the caravan. It was waiting outside if I wanted to demand anything. So I had to think, what would I demand? But I couldn't think of anything to demand, so I just didn't. I said, no, you're okay. So it was one day in the recording studio, and then 2 days, the actual filming, with another 2 or 3 days for costume fitting and wig fitting and so on.
Well, you should start writing your list of demands now, because the next time you're on a film set, you're never going to get a diva reputation if you don't have
it. Yeah, I think I'll do that for my singing too as well. I think I'll will I demand for the green room? Yeah.
You need to write your writer out.
Yeah.
When you were on set, you've kind of addressed this, but when you were on set and you had, you know, you said some downtime and some waiting and different things over those 2 days, did you find any unique challenges with regard to performing, whether it was vocally, instrumentally, etc.?
I think it's, I suppose what the thing is with recording is there's so much waiting around, and then it's that waiting where you're thinking of what you're going to do, and then the moment they say action, it's right, you just have to concentrate for that moment. So it's just lots of waiting around, and then a burst of activity, and then lots of waiting around again. So it's really just making sure during that time, and also because I was with my hair and position of the harp and so on, I couldn't move around a lot, so I just had to wait while they were shifting scenes and so on, or shifting shots. So it was really just a case of sitting where I was and trying to be as calm as possible, and then when you'd hear action, just do your thing. So, but it was really good to be a part of it.
So if there is going to be a blooper reel on the DVD box set of this series, were there any things that happened accidentally, maybe funny things that happened while you were on set?
I'm sorry to say, I can't think of anything. Everything just went sailed perfectly.
Of course.
It sounds terrible to say that, but no, I honestly can't think of anything that went particularly... We did lots and lots of shots of the same scene. I suppose the one thing which was interesting, I suppose, was the very final scene, where I'm standing, I think, leading the song, and there's lots of hooping and people shouting. I don't think you can hear the shouting on the screen, but that was just an idea the director had an idea that came to him, and he said, "Can you sing a fast song and pretend to be really happy, and you're rousing everyone, so they're really pleased while the main characters are leaving?" So that was just kind of okay, just kind of doing something really quickly, which I hadn't really planned or thought about. So, but that was really good. Really enjoyed the final scene as well.
See, I was hoping for something like in one take you accidentally inhaled part of your wig, or
I should say I kept my wig on for a week.
Oh my gosh! They had to pry it off his head; he wouldn't get it back.
No, unfortunately, I didn't. But looking back, I wish I had.
So no, actually playing the harp you were given, or was it a real harp?
No, that was a playable harp, but it was a modern take on an old harp. So,
as you said earlier, your daily life, your job, as well as your professional music career. What are some of your upcoming projects that you can share with us?
Well, yeah, I've got some gigs coming up where I'm doing some Outlander concerts or tours, but I'm also there are lots of traditional Gaelic songs, but there aren't so many people composing new songs, so I've got a project where I'll be composing songs as well. So I'm hopefully going to release a CD next year, if I ever get around to doing it, of traditional songs, hopefully some of the songs from the Outlander program, Outlander show. Episode 3 will be on that CD. But also in the next year or so, I want to release a CD of my own songs, because I think it's important. although it's important for Gaelic to keep the old songs and have the songs from 200 years ago, 100 years ago, and even 50 years ago, but it's also important to make Gaelic songs relevant to life today. So I compose songs. So the next year or so, I'm going to try and take the big step of actually putting my own songs in a CD, which is always different to singing songs composed by someone else, because you're more exposed on two levels in terms of your own voice and how the CD sounds, but also the quality of the songs. So that's the two things at the moment, well, three things in terms of the Outlander concerts in Scotland for groups, hopefully doing a US tour or a mini tour next year, and also maybe a song CD of traditional songs, and also my own compositions.
That's exciting. I think that's kind of like the next step in the resurgence of Gaelic, you know, because music is so important, and it's something that people can really connect to on so many different levels at the same time. So I think that will bring even more people over to wanting to learn more about the Gaelic language.
Yeah, I think so. So many people have started or have learned Gaelic because they heard a song by Rundrig or Julie Fowlis or Capper Cayley or lots of other fantastic musicians as well. And it's they then make the language interesting for other people. So it's about telling people, first of all, teaching the youngsters the language so that they love the language and are proud of the language, and also getting people from out with the Gaelic area, Gaelic heartlands, I suppose, to learn the language, learn the songs. And we welcome everyone, so we love people to learn, and we love people who are singing. So it's great it's great when you go to the USA, Canada, where there are Gaelic singing groups, and Europe as well. There's lots of singing groups in Germany, and people learning the language in Germany and so on.
It's so funny that Germany would be like a big Gaelic center.
Well, Germany, from what I've seen online, Germany is, or German fans of Outlander are some of the most keen fans anywhere outside of the English-speaking, native English-speaking world. And German fans are crazy for Outlander, so to me it makes sense that they would be huge fans of all things Celtic, and including the languages.
Yeah, there's a huge movement, I suppose, in Germany for all things Scottish, and there has been for a long time, but also there's a Gaelic language school in Bonn. There's lots and lots of... I used to teach Gaelic on the phone for the distance learning course for the Gaelic College in Skye, and I used to have people from, well, lots of people from Germany, but also people from all over the world learning the language, and it was great that they could do it from a distance, from their own home. So yeah, I've met lots of the people who I've been teaching. I've met them, and in fact, one of the people I met was she was called Margaret. She's called Margaret Ostling. She lives in Washington State, and she said she started learning Gaelic because of Outlander. And for 3 years, I was her tutor from a distance on the phone or on Skype and so on. And then she found out that I was the bard, and she said it was the perfect link. She started learning Gaelic in Outlander. She started learning Gaelic from me, and then I was in Outlander, so it was great.
Are you saying that you're available for Skype tutoring for Gaelic people who want to learn? People want to learn Gaelic? Try that again.
Yeah, well, I am still available, although I haven't done so much of it in the last couple of years. But yeah, I am available for Skype tutoring. I've been teaching Gaelic singing classes on Skype. So I used to tutor people in Colorado and the Netherlands, also in Salt Lake City. Yeah, so I've had, and Baltimore as well. So I've had quite a range of people and groups learning Gaelic on Skype.
That's exciting. I think that's totally exciting that that's something that's available, like technology. It's so amazing.
Yeah, it was good because I lived in Spain for 6 years. So I started off teaching English, but then teaching English in front of a class as such. But then I got the opportunity to teach distance learning for the Gaelic College, and also was doing distance learning on Skype with my own classes. So it was great because I could live with where my wife was from, but also be involved in the promotion and teaching of Gaelic. So I really enjoyed that. So yeah, do Skype lessons. If anyone's interested, send me an email.
How would they contact you? Could they also do that through your website?
Yeah, probably through my website. My website or Twitter is good, or also my email, which is gillebride@hotmail.com. So it's gillebride@hotmail.com.
Well, you heard it here. If you want to be tutored by Gilbrige, the bard from Outlander, he is available.
And if we're able ever to make it over to Scotland in the Glasgow area specifically, would you be willing to meet up and maybe speak a little, whatever Gaelic we could, and maybe over a pint or something?
I was going to say, we'll buy the pint.
We'll buy the pint.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And I've actually met quite a few fans and people who have been learning Gaelic in the last wee while. Just they've sent an email, and it happened that I could meet and they could meet, and so it's been really good just to go and meet people who are interested in Outlander and who came to Gaelic language and culture through Outlander, and it's great to meet them. Enough.
Excellent. That would be, we would love that.
Putting it on the list.
Great.
Putting it on our list
for our demands. Our demand list. our trip to Scotland.
Our own writer. our tour writer. If we do a little pod tour. Oh.
Anyway.
You'd have to be see how improved or deteriorated after each pint.
Well, I imagine we would be more improved.
Oh.
Or at least you like think we were more improved.
I will say one thing that is very is a total anecdote, only related because of language. I attended a certain person's bridal, was it like a hen night, and we had we went around town doing some stuff in a limo, so we were all safely driven around, and we had at each spot we had a little bit more to drink, and by the end of the night, this is so weird, my second language is German, so by the end of the night I was speaking German. I steadfastly refused to speak English. I still don't know why. But I so it's not related at all, except that my English may get worse as I go on. So we wanted to, again, thank you so much for your time and for taking some of your precious time with your young family to chat with us about your background, about your experiences, and we hope to be able to welcome you again in the future.
I would love that very much. Thank you. Gidra tapalif, agus sheerbeha.
Oh, tapalif, tapalif. Okay, we'll tapalif and matinva. Oh, that's good morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shoot.
So it's Feskirma.
What is
it?
Feskirma. Okay. Feskirma. There you go. Feskirma. Feskirma. Okay. Have a good night.
Oh,
thank
wait.
You.
Do we owe him money for that? He just tutored you.
Oh, you just tutored us.
Are you tutoring?
Uh-oh.
That's your first free class.
Oh, that's the first free class.
Class is free.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Very good. Sounds good.
Cheers.
Okay. Top of leave. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
And now we'd like to share a song with you, recorded by Gilbride, entitled Gilip.
Sanil matin yok haudi se a huad mi kiet halig ed mai
Anen du ich nach Panje, gommes günje nach Tükin, skenakem machen maplisch jen kainch, nur den noch und hoschoch mam chanyu. Lem moch die nam chaun, snod den lau du tov die den nach kuolten je dir wut, gen leiat geplad im chluash. Pam in uash en kenjeku fot Jesu. Tu kadid mohalu, yewin se tokal nam chli, snod a helvet unam hulen stu koit ni unge guloch beshen hen en ghor aga peal, amo hu letze ken vuadu, haro tul ken jike ke keun. Ach, wann nun ja froh gergün, haro ist je bergün, kui es von let, let du da vom Kleb. Ach, ein Tag rück ach niemal, wann dann gün. Manish is Jin Vijianus Karu. Smiri Chiyukam Yahi Kandal. Sket Mantas the Hofatas Dunshin the Hound Mada. Vashin Jiris Vichi the Pagul. Skape Kriyan Yach Nyanu Pavian Lin. Shinas Kin Jisnas Dayan Gahi. Vakar pok maren shite gamma galekshi akum kinj nach birtu kam ye wan kinj nach bin hin kat ye wan kinj nach bin hin kat ye.
A big thank you again to Gilbreja for taking the time out of his day to speak with us. Next week, join us back. I'm sure we'll have something awesome going on.
Well, in some way, it'll hopefully be enjoyable. So thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod or email us at OutlanderPod@gmail.com.
I dreamt it last night that my young